Good morning, everyone. And a warm welcome to you all, especially any visitors with us today. We have a lady called Helen here with us today, one of our PCSOs. She's here somewhere. There she is. Thank you for coming and joining us today. And thank you for what you and your colleagues do to try and keep us safe in this town and surrounding areas. Refreshments, as usual, will be served after this morning's service. Please stay if you can to get to know us better, as I said, if you're new to the church. And the Ministry of Prayer is also available under the stained glass window. Our service today will be led by Charles Harris. Welcome, Charles. And thank you for coming to take our service today. I have a couple of extra notices. The worship committee has been looking at how we can do our best to be a dementia-friendly church. And I think there's a slide that was put up before the service started. There's a lady called Susie coming along, an ambassador for Dementia Friends. And she will be coming to give a talk on dementia on Thursday the 14th of May, 2:30 to 4:30. If this is an interest to you, obviously, please come along. And one of the things that have really helped us as a church and the stewards is having the reader's rota. And thank you to everyone who is on it. We would like to set up something similar with people who would be willing to serve and steward communion and support the team. If you feel this is something you could offer, there's a sign-up sheet at the back. Please sign up if you think this is a ministry you could offer us here. And lastly, there is a message from Davenport Road Church. The next circuit service is on the 17th of May at 6 o'clock. And the Reverend Sue is due to be ordained at conference at the end of June. And in that service, she will be given her testimony and speak of her journey to ordination. I understand from some of my friends in Davenport Road that there's approximately 100 people signed up for this already, but there's still space for anyone else that hasn't put their name down for that as well. So I think that's all the notices I've got today. So we'll just have a prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together today. As we begin this service, we invite your presence to fill this place and your Holy Spirit to guide us. Open our hearts to your word, our voices for praise, and our minds to your truth. May all we do bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Graham, for starting us off there. It's good to see everyone here today. How are you keeping? How are you, Theo? I saw you the other day. You doing all right? Are you enjoying life? They're looking after you at home, are they? Theo was here a couple of Sundays ago. I saw him the first time. And we didn't have any other children in church apart from Theo. So he didn't have Sunday school. And we were talking about coffee at the back. And he was telling me when he's at home in Zambia, is that right? I've got the right year. You have how many in your Sunday school? Your mum said there was about 500 in your Sunday school. Is that right? Yeah, because she said she's in a choir of about 500 ladies. So I can see why he was a bit shocked when we didn't have Sunday school the other day. But it's good to see you here today. I'm glad you've come back and that hasn't put you off. Great to see you here, because that's what we need, is young people to come along and join in. And also, Gutchen, it's nice to see your family and your son, who I've never met. But that would be great to catch up with him perhaps a little bit afterwards. So it's great to see different people here, some of whom I know, some of whom I don't know. But it's still nice to be here. Yep. Yeah? Let's worship the Lord and praise him. I just want to say that we are theoretically, and perhaps more than theoretically, still in the Easter season. Did you know that? Between Easter and Pentecost, how many days are there? Who can tell me? No, it's not 40 days and 40 nights. A few more. 50. And so we're still in the Easter season. So we're still thinking about the resurrection. Okay? We haven't given up on believing in eternal life yet. And I don't think we should. So we're actually going to one of our hymns this morning. It's a very lively hymn. Okay? And I hope that you'll raise the roof. If we have to get a new roof, so what? But I think we need to sing it with gusto when we get around to that. Because God is good. The other thing, just in passing, Graham mentioned things to do with dementia. Really, really worth seeing that one through. Over in Longhambra, they started a memory cafe. And about half a dozen, eight people who were volunteers came forward. They'd got no training before. They met with a woman from Dementia Oxford. She inspired them and they started it off. And now they have a very large number of people go to this coffee morning. And it's great, absolutely fantastic. And it really would be wonderful if something like that happened here at High Street. I think it would take off just like that. I think there'd be so many people interested. So don't wait to be asked to volunteer. Yeah? Just get up and do it. If you've got the slightest bit of interest, say, I will help. And Lord, help me because I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah? Just do it. We should volunteer a lot more, but we don't. Right, we're going to sing together, okay? If you're following in the hymn book, it's 305. If you're following on the screen, well, hopefully you'll be able to see the words anyway. Lo, in the grave he lay. Who was he? What was his name?
Jesus.
Pardon?
Jesus.
Well, I'm glad you don't mind saying the name Jesus. I thought for a moment you might be a bit ashamed of doing so. What was his name?
Jesus.
Excellent. Let's stand and sing this together.
Forever with his saints to reign, he arose.
Praise the Lord. That's good news, isn't it? You can sit down, that's all right. That's good news, don't you think? Christians have good news. We have the gospel to tell people, the good news of Jesus, that God has sent his Son into the world to show us the way through life and death on to eternity. He sent Jesus into the world to forgive us for our waywardness, for our sins, and to draw us back towards God so that we might walk with him and know his way. Good news, isn't it? Well, I want you to do something for me now, because, well, we would sometimes have a children's talk, but, well, we've got one or two young people here, but not a huge number, but we've got a number of people who are young at heart, yes? Is that right? Well, what I want you to do, I want you to do something a little bit odd. I want you to look underneath your chair and see if you can find something underneath your chair that's not your handbag or your coat or something you put under there, but something a bit different. And if you've got it, I want you to hold up high in the air what you find. Oh, somebody's found something. Somebody's found something else. I think there's a few. Somebody's found something else. I think there should be somebody finding something over here. Look under all the other chairs. Oh, you found it. Hold it up in the air. Hold it up. Hold it up, girls. Come on, up in the air with it. Dear, oh dear, oh dear, they've got arthritis. Now, this is good news, because what you've done, you found something. And this was to illustrate to the young people that sometimes when we have good news, what are we told to do with good news? Share good news with other people. When Jesus came to die for us, he didn't just die for us individually, although he did that, that's very important, but he died that all of those that he calls to him might be brought to salvation. And he wants us all to know the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. But all of us, if we call ourselves believers and Christians, we have a responsibility to get up off our bottoms. You've got one, haven't you, somewhere? Yeah? Get up off your bottom and share what you have with other people, particularly the message of the gospel. So, those who have got the tins or the boxes, don't just pass the box around, open it, yeah? Open the box. Open the box. Can you open the box? You might need help. Somebody else open the box if you're struggling with it. Lady behind you looks as though she'll be quiet. Oh, you've taken the lid off. Now, what I want you to do now is to share the contents with everyone else. Pass them around. Share. Stand up and share them. Give them around. Give them out. Pass them out. They're all looking so shocked. They're not normally asked to do things like this at church. They don't know what to do next. That's it. Mate, you can move about. Give them out. This young man, he's being very brave. Oh, who's going to do it on that side? Somebody is. There we are. There we are. Yeah, she's doing it. Graham's coming to rescue you. Well, that's good news. Well, young people, I think that might be Theo. I'm not quite sure. Young people in the Sunday school today, I think they're talking about Moses in the wilderness and the fire, the pillar of cloud and the fire and all the stuff going through the wilderness. I think that's what they're talking about. So we'll see. And in a little while, you can carry on passing those around. And so the young people are going to go off, I believe, to their activities. So where's the dear lady that's taking them off to their activities? Where's she gone? We've lost her. Here she comes. Come to the front. Come to the front, madame, so we can see you. This is the woman to follow. If you want to go to Sunday school, follow her. Yeah? Yeah, there's some other ones going as well, Theo. You're not on your own. Well done. Excellent. Carry on giving out the good news. And we're going to sing together now. Number 418, we have a gospel to proclaim. 418, we have a gospel to proclaim. So are you feeling fit? Then stand up, please. Ready for the gospel? We have a gospel to proclaim. Are you ready to proclaim it? Dear, oh dear, oh dear. Come on, ladies. Dear, oh dear, oh dear. You've had your breakfast. I'm sure you have. You're awake. You're not dead yet, are you? I have a little motto for myself. Do as much as you can for as long as you can with whatever you've got left. Yeah? Do as much as you can for as long as you can with whatever you've got left. Right, here we go. Thank you very much indeed. please be seated? Well, we're going to have the first of our Bible passages today from the epistles from 1 Peter, and Jane is going to come and very kindly read that passage to us this morning. Thank you, Jane.
So reading 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 22, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him.
Thank you very much, Jane. That passage of Scripture has many theological issues in it. We won't be dealing with all of them today, although it would be very tempting to do so. Because obviously you have in there the reference we often have in the Christian creed about Christ going down into hell to preach, or to Hades, to preach the captive spirits in hell. But we're not actually going to illustrate that today particularly, but we could on another occasion if people are showing enough interest and ask us to do so. But that's not our theme for today. But let's just pray for our tithes and our offerings before we have our intercessions today. We thank all those that have made offerings to the work of God through tithes or offerings in the plate or through standing orders, whatever it might be. But let's offer all of that giving that's been made to the Lord as we bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you for every opportunity that we have to give to you. You are so generous and kind to us. You give us in abundance. And we thank you that you give us so many wonderful gifts, and above all, that you give us the Lord Jesus to be our Saviour. But Father, we thank you for the physical resources that we have, the finances that you give us, the homes we live in, all the other things that you give to us, our food and provisions in different ways. And today, Lord, we just return to you just a token, at least, of our thanksgiving. And we say thank you. Thank you for all the gifts and the offerings you give us. And we pray, Lord, that you would use these tithes and offerings to the glory and honour of your holy name, to the building up of your kingdom, and the enrichment of the name of Christ in our world. And we ask this for his glory and his praise. Amen. Well, Daniel is now going to come and lead us in our intercession. So thank you very much, Daniel, and I will move out of the way to let you do so.
Let us pray. The response to the words, "Jesus, Lord of our lives," is graciously hear us. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and they that dwell therein. Lord God, our Creator, we pray for our world. We thank you for your creation and all the wonders of creation we see around each day. We are sorry for the times when we have taken your creation for granted and abused them only to gratify our selfish motives. Bless our King, our Prime Minister, and all the members of the Cabinet. Give our leaders godly insight to judge righteously and mirror your integrity. Fill them with divine wisdom so that they will walk honorably and give justice to all. There is none as righteous as you, O Lord, and our leaders need your guidance. We also pray for all world leaders to be humbled like Nebuchadnezzar. Make them aware of your sovereignty, for you truly hold all authority and power and all their hearts in your hands. You are the King of kings, and through your reign, peace will govern the lands and every nation will bow before your throne. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. Lord, we especially hold before you today those who are troubled, those with many doubts and uncertainties, whose desire, confidence, and trust. We pray for their freedom from anxiety, rejection, and fear. We pray for those for whom this day will seem long and hard, for those in hospital or ill at home, those struggling with despair or depression, those waiting for a job or an important news, or for a friend to call them, for those in trauma from wars, persecution, and all forms of violence, and for those in refugee camps. And nearer home, we pray for our town and the neighboring villages, for all our brothers and sisters in the one body of Christ. We remember those serving in this church in varying capacities, for those serving in the church council, in all the committees, the AV team, the musicians, and for all the activities during this week, and especially for the Alpha Plus, and for others who use this building for their periodic events, and for those coming to the coffee bar each morning. May each one of them, created in your own image, experience you in their lives and learn of your love for them shown on that never-to-be-forgotten cross, and for the new relationship they can have, they can enjoy with you as their Savior and Lord. To those who err, show them your truth. To those who do amiss, give them your grace to do better. And those who do well, to persevere in well doing well. To those who are oppressed or afflicted, grant them your comfort and deliverance. And to those who prosper, your humility and temperance. Heal all their brokenness and help them to experience your love, mercy, and grace, bringing hope to their lives. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. Finally, we pray for ourselves. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Almighty God, The provisions of your new covenant of grace are staggering in their richness. Forgiveness of sins from you, intimacy with you, and an inner transformation by you. All this is ours through faith in your Son, our Savior. O Lord, what bountiful grace you have made available to us in Christ. We are fully and desperately need all these three working that you alone can provide. We praise you for the gift of forgiveness of sins. We seek you for an increased intimacy with you as we enthrone you in our hearts. We look to you, be shaping our lives according to your will from inside out and all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. True-hearted, wholehearted, Savior all-glorious, take thy great power and reign thou alone over all our wills and affections victorious, freely surrendered and wholly thine alone. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. Gathering our prayers, we all join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you very much, Daniel, for leading us in our prayers this morning. That's appreciated, so thank you very much for that. Well, we're going to hear now the second of our Bible passages, which is our gospel for today. And I believe Jonathan is going to be reading that for us from John 16, but you'll probably tell us that in John 14, probably tell us that in a few moments. Thank you, Jonathan.
So, as you've just heard, the Bible reading is from John 14, 15 to 21. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Thank you, Jonathan. Well, in a few moments, we will have our sermon. So let's just bow our heads as we prepare to think about God's word and as we prepare to have our hearts opened by God's Holy Spirit that he might speak deep into our souls. So let's just be still for a few moments as we prepare to enter into this particular time of listening to what God has to say to us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a living word, that the scriptures teach us, encourage us, sometimes challenge us, that they draw us near to you and closer into fellowship with you. And so we pray that you'd help us to heed your word, to take notice of it, to respond appropriately to it, and to allow it to sink deep into the very depth of our being, deep into our soul. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we're only going to focus on a very short part of the epistle reading. which was the first reading for 1 Peter today. There's so much in it, we can't focus on all of it, but we would be here for a very long time if we tried to. But I want to just focus on one verse, which is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says slightly different things in different translations, but I'll explain that in a moment. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Other translations say revere the Lord God. Okay. Others say respect. There's different words that are used, but basically it means to honor God in your heart, to put Jesus first in your heart. And that's really what's important. I want to just suggest a few things. How do we do this? If you are called to witness to your faith, it's not always easy, is it? But in the time that this was written, there was a lot of suffering going on in the church. There was various persecutions going on. It wasn't an easy time to be a believer in Jesus. And it wasn't an easy time to stand out and be counted as a follower of Christ. And we might feel like that today. We might feel, well, it's very difficult to actually make a difference in the world as a Christian. We may feel that perhaps we're frightened to speak up. We may feel that if we do speak up, somebody will laugh at us, or they'll put us down in some way emotionally, that they won't listen to what we have to say. But the reality is, the gospel message is good news. And if we don't share the good news that we have got, what happens to it? Just goes nowhere. Perhaps just like the manna in the wilderness, it sort of just goes stale. Or it's like the seed that falls on rocky areas or gets eaten up by the birds. But we have to have in our hearts the desire and the longing to share the gospel. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then you have a responsibility given of God to share your faith with other people. It's not an option. It's not something you do if you feel like it or if you sort of feel confident about it. We are all told if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we, by the very nature of it, are salt and light and a witness in the world. We can't hide that. You know, we're told if you hide your light under a bushel, you know, hide it under something, it's not going to be helpful. So we're told that we should share our faith, but it's not always very easy. So what are some of the foundations that we need to get right in our lives if we're going to actually do it? It's not easy. I'm not suggesting it's easy because, well, it's hard being a Christian. It's not always easy to be a Christian. It's not always easy to be faithful to the Lord constantly because we're weak, we're human. But God still helps us by his Holy Spirit, and that we mustn't forget. But the first of the foundations is that we really need to know, before we start telling other people about Jesus, we need to know that we know Jesus. Yeah? It's not the same as just going to church or attending meetings. That's not the same as knowing Jesus. That's what people who know Jesus sometimes do, but that's not the same as knowing Jesus. Because we need to know that Jesus is the one that we would like to be number one in our lives. We sometimes say to be Lord of our lives. The one who calls the tune, the one who sets the course, the one who determines where we go, the one who directs us in our lives, the one who we follow. Lots of ways of saying it, but we put him in the driving seat. Yeah? He is the one that drives the vehicle of our life. And we go where he thinks it's safe to go, We go where he wants us to go to serve him, and he is in charge. Now, I don't know everyone here today. I know some folk here, but not everybody. I don't know how long you have been a Christian. I don't know how long you have been a disciple. Many would have been baptized as children, yeah? Others would have come to faith along the way in some way. But have you, as an individual, have you reached the point in your life where you know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? Where you have said to him, I want you to be Lord of my life and I want to follow your way. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, because it's most certainly not. And there are many occasions when we fail him, and where the weakness of our humanity prevents us from doing absolutely everything God wants us to do. I'm very conscious of that. But is your heart and your intention, your desire, that he should be Lord of your life? Have you asked Jesus into your life? Have you said, Lord, I surrender my life to you because you are God, you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and I want to walk your way? Have you recognized that Jesus, when he died on the cross, with his arms outstretched, was saying, Father, forgive. And he's calling you to him to say, come to me. All is forgiven. Stand with me, and I will stand with you and never let go of you. Do you know that reality? Because that's important. Because if you don't know that, how can you share your faith with other people? The other thing is, do you have a sort of an inner peace about it? God gives us his Holy Spirit. That's a mystery. It's hard to explain. It's hard to explain even in pulpits and sermons. But God gives us his Holy Spirit. He comes to us in power and fills us with an inner boldness, an inner courage, an inner conviction. Wesley, who, as you know, was the founder of Methodism, for him it was like his heart was stirred. He had a glow in his heart, as it were. He knew the Holy Spirit. But all of us, however long we've been a Christian, okay, we need to know on an ongoing basis, not just once, but on an ongoing basis, this inner presence of God, this inner peace of God. And if we have that within us, then we have a confidence within us to share with other people. Because from deep down inside, you say, well, I know I'm a Christian, and I've got this inner peace, this thing that comes from God that I can't explain, but that gives me the motivation to want to share with other people. Have you got that inside you? And the other thing to always remember, that here's our security. In the days that this took place, there were a lot of persecution, a lot of suffering going on. And when you're going through suffering, you want a solid foundation, don't you? You know, you don't want the rug to be taken out from under you, that expression of, you know, having the security removed from you. You don't want that. You want there to be security. And who is our security? Jesus himself. So I will not forsake you, okay? I will never abandon you. I won't leave you. I won't run away and forget about you. You will be my child for all eternity. So we can have an assurance that God won't let us down. He will be there for us. He provides that security. So do you have that foundation? That's the first thing, isn't it? Because if we look at that verse 15, chapter 3, verse 15, I have to put my goggles on for doing this, because otherwise I won't be able to read a thing, and that won't help anybody. I'm a bit slower at this since I had cataract operation in one, and I've still got things to be done in the other, so I'm having to read very carefully. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an account to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Okay? Are you prepared to speak for Jesus? Are you prepared to speak up? Do you have that foundation that allows you to do that? And then secondly, are you ready? It says, be ready to do it. Okay? Be ready to do it. If someone today were to say to you, tell me about Jesus, what would you say? How would you react? Would you be worried? Would you know immediately what to say? What would you do? Would you be excited? Would you be terrified? What would be your reaction? But are we prepared? Well, in one way you are, already. If you are a Christian and you know Jesus in your life, then you are partly prepared already. Why do I say that? Because you have Jesus at work in you. And that's something you don't really have to do a great deal about, because God is at present in you and he will shine through you. If your prayer life and your spiritual life is true, people will see it. I don't want to tell the names of the people because that would be unfair, but here in Whitney, I made some friends with a really wonderful family. They don't go to the Methodist church, which is why I mentioned them. Otherwise, you might start trying to guess who they are. But one person here, Gutchin knows who I'm talking about, but he will keep it to himself, I'm quite sure, is one family I go to, and the mum and the dad have a number of children, and they are the most godly, caring family you could imagine. And you can see Jesus oozing out of them by who they are and what they are. I went to call in the other afternoon. I was told, if you come around at 3:30, the children are there, we have a cup of tea, and we read from the Bible together in the afternoon at 3:30. So I turned up, went there, and sure enough, there were the children literally having a cup of tea. The little children, very little children, and they've got little cups of tea, like proper little cups of tea, and they were pouring out, and the children were serving it. And then we had the Bible passage. And latterly, they've been going through the book of Ezra in the Old Testament. How many of you have read Ezra? Hands up if you've ever read the book of Ezra. Hardly anybody, yeah? Hardly anybody. But these children were reading through the book of Ezra. They got to a passage, it was really complicated, all about the temple and all the struggles there were about trying to stop them rebuild the temple because it had been captured, all sorts of things. And these little children, although they're little primary school children, were lapping it up. Why? Because it's what they did regularly. It's what they did every day. Because their parents were not ashamed of the gospel. And the parents were ready to give account of what Jesus was doing. And that's such a witness to us. But we are ready. If we have a spiritual life of any depth, people will see that. They'll see us that we're a bit different. And if they can't see a difference at all, then perhaps that raises questions about our own spiritual walk with God and whether we pray, whether we read the scriptures, whether we read the Old Testament, because the Old Testament isn't something just to be ignored and used to prop up a door. It's the foundation of the New Testament. So we should read that as well as the New Testament, really. So we've got that. Are you ready? Do you have this? Wesley had a problem with this, you know, when he founded Methodism. The word assurance. Wesley kept on saying, you need to know that when you die, you're going to heaven. Do you know that? When you die, you're going to heaven. Do you know that you are? Not because of anything you've done. No, far from it. If it was based on what you've done, you'd never get there. But based on what Jesus has done by his death on the cross. Jesus died in our place. He died that sin should be overcome and that we should be given new life. But Wesley had great problems with the early Methodists because a lot of them were Anglicans before they became Methodists. And they kept saying, no. We have to earn our salvation. We have to do good things. We have to lead good lives. You notch up the good and the bad. And he said, no. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're all rotten to the core. You're as filthy as dirty rags. No hope. Apart from the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God. You can never notch up enough good things. You'll never be able to do it. But who has? Jesus. Jesus led a life which was sinless. He led a life that was a perfect life. He led a life that gives hope to us. And when he died on the cross and his blood was shed, he was saying, I am dying in your place. Who should have been on that cross? Who should have been on the cross? Us, yeah. We're the ones that deserve punishment for the things we do wrong. And yet God, in his love and in his mercy, says, No. I will take that instead. God, there's a carpet down here. If I put all the dirt under there, swept it all under there, would that be good? And you can't do that with God. You can't shove everything under the carpet and hope it goes away. Because God can still see it. But what God says, I know what you're like, but I still forgive you. And it's not hidden under the carpet, but the punishment for the things we do wrong is taken by Jesus on the cross. He died on the cross where we should die on the cross. He did it for us on our behalf. And that's amazing. Don't you think that's amazing? Why would somebody else die to save you from dying? Somebody else laying down their life that you might live and them dying instead. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So, are you ready? Is your life sort of displaying something of Jesus? Do you have this assurance that you belong to him? And then, well, the other thing is, can you give a reasoned explanation for why you are a Christian? Could you tell anyone why you were a Christian? If somebody says, why are you a Christian? What would you say? What would you say? Would you say, well, I was just brought up it? Would you say, well, I just go to church? Okay. But what reason? If somebody said to you, why do you believe in Christianity? Why do you believe in Jesus? What would you say? And that's important. So to be ready, we need to prepare an answer for that. And that's something we can work on, preparing an answer for, by studying the scriptures, reading about it, listening to sermons, talking to other Christians, going to Bible studies. We can do all of that to educate ourselves about what we believe. But this is a challenge. If I were to ask you to prepare a maximum 2 minutes words, 2 minutes worth of words to say why you're a Christian, that's the fundamental. If you could do that, you can give account of the hope that's within you in a minute or two, that's good. So if you think that you could fill a minute with why you believe in Jesus, why you believe in God, that's a good start, isn't it? Yeah? But if you couldn't even do that, then really, really, we've got to challenge ourselves, haven't we, to make sure we're ready to tell other people the gospel. Yeah? Otherwise, how are they going to hear? If we're not ready, and we're Christians, and we're the messengers, we're the ones that are supposed to go and tell people, if we're not ready, how can we do anything about it? Time moves on, so do we. It then says that you should do this in meekness and reverence. In other words, when you're witnessing to people, because they won't listen. They won't listen if you do that. You know? There's a particular denomination which is offline to main Christianity that has a reputation for having done that in the past. And even they've learned now not to do that. So they don't do it in the same way. Because if you go, people don't listen. But that doesn't mean we don't try to share the message. So what we should do instead, we should pray that we have opportunities to share the gospel patiently. So let's summarize. Is Jesus king in your life insofar as you're able for him to be at this stage? Could you prepare a 60-second minimum little explanation as to why you believe in Jesus? Something to perhaps do in the next week? And do you pray for opportunities to share the gospel? Or do you try to avoid them because you don't want to? But God says if we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. And we don't want that, do we? Yeah? Challenging thoughts. But so there's even more challenging thoughts in this passage if we had long enough. But we haven't got all day. So we're not going to go through the whole thing, you'll be delighted to know. We're going to stop at that particular juncture. But let's just pray. Father, we ask that you'd help us to do what you say we should do, which is to share the good news. It's not always easy, but we pray you prepare us and give us courage and give us strength in ourselves to know that we have something worth sharing because you've already shared yourself with us and we've experienced that in our own lives. So we pray that we would stand up and be evangelists for Jesus, as all Christians are called to be to some measure or another. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to move into communion fairly rapidly now, and we're going to stand to sing the hymn before we do. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love, and we move from there into our communion together.
let us sing of a wonderful love, tender and true. Out of the heart of the Father above, streaming to me and to you.
Please remain standing for a few moments. We come before God to celebrate Holy Communion, to remember that Christ came into the world to save sinners, to live to show us how to live, and who died that we might have eternal life. Lord our God, as we come to celebrate Communion, we pray that we may know your presence and your love, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. If you wish to be seated, please be so. We praise you, gracious Father, our Maker and Sustainer. You created the heavens and the earth and formed us in your own image. Though we sinned against you, your love for us was constant, and you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of the world. Sharing our human nature, he was born of Mary and baptized in the Jordan. He proclaimed your kingdom by word and deed and was put to death upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him in glory. And through him you have sent your Holy Spirit, calling us to be your people, a community of faith. And so with angels and archangels and all the choirs of heaven, we join in the triumphant hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, we praise you. During the night in which he was betrayed, our Saviour Christ took bread, gave thanks. He broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, and proclaiming his eternal sacrifice, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as we declare the mysteries of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send down your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him forever and bring us with the whole creation to your eternal kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. The bread we break in the sight of people, we do so in silence for a few moments as we remember what we're doing. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavor, but only by his hand. Brothers and sisters, whatever church you may come from, if you love the Lord Jesus, then do come forward and remember him. He died for you. He loves you. You are precious to him. Come and share in this celebration of his life and death. Draw near. Receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you. Feed on him by faith, with thanksgiving in your heart. Amen. Those who are assisting, please come forward first.
Hungry.
Give us the privilege it is at serving for communion, and we pray your blessing upon all those who have assisted today. Lord, you are good, and you love us, and we thank you for the love that you show to us. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, three in one, be with each of us now and forevermore. Amen. We sing together our concluding hymn, which is, I Will Offer Up My Life. And as we sing this hymn, let's give ourselves to God. And if perhaps you've never done that before, this might be the time of offering, that you might know for certain that Jesus is Lord of your life. Weak though you may be, he is strong. Let's rise and sing together.
Sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven and have beckoned me in. Savior, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Part of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Brothers and sisters, God has done so much for us. Are we glad? Are we glad? Let's turn and look at each other. In the epistles, there's a very strange ending to some of the epistles. It's like a prayer. It's very odd. It's addressed between Christians, and yet it was directed to God. And that grace is important because what it really does is acknowledges that in each of us, if we've asked Christ into our lives, dwells God the Holy Spirit. So as we offer each other the peace, we're acknowledging that we are one because God is at work in us. Let's share that together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. One family meeting together. And today we have people from all around the world. And I know, having spoken to people, we've got folk from Asia, Africa, South America, Europe, probably even North America, certainly all the others we have. God is good, and we are one family. Rejoice! and I'm sure you're missing the other 499 friends from your Sunday school. So when you go home, give them our love and send some back here so that we've got a few more. God bless. Thank you.